edition of Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we are getting off to a special start to the week because here in this first hour, we've got us a co-host, Keith Mitchell, PGA Tour winner. Wells, I think, honestly, it's a deal where he was such a bad Thursday Masters analyst. What do you give us that? Matthew Wolf had facial hair and Lee Westwood was having a bad day.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all the analysis he had to give us that day.
Well, Keith, you didn't watch anything on Thursday, did you?
I watched the back nine on Sunday.
That's about it.
And so Keith has been, he felt bad about his performance, and he's been nice enough to come in here and give Wells and I Patrick Reed swimsuit calendar. So these things are sweet. Just kidding. Actually, Keith, if you could, why are you in your beloved hometown?
Well, I always love to come back and visit. My mom's still here, and a big part of me, if not every part of me that grew up in the golf world here is Chattanooga. So I'm pretty excited. I always love coming back, but I'm really excited to come back now because we're starting to launch the Keith Mitchell Foundation and having some meetings this week before I head down to Zurich to try to get some groundwork going, see what we can do, get some people interested, and then really, you know, the goal of the foundation is just give back as much as I can to the city of Chattanooga that gave me so much to be able to play on the PGA Tour.
And you are lifelong Chattanooga, right?
Absolutely.
Born and
raised. Both parents were lifelong Chattanooga as well.
Okay. So that is some neat stuff, and we'll talk throughout this hour about that. You mentioned going to Zurich. You and Brant Snedeker are going to team up. This is one of those unique formats. Do you like it?
Well, I played with Steven Yeager the first year, and Steven and I played horrible. And I told myself I don't think I'd ever play Zurich again. I talked trash about it for 2 years straight. And then this year, Brant was like, hey, you want to play? And now all of a sudden, I can't wait to play. It's like I've made a reverse because people always say if you took Brant and I's game and combined it, we would be a top 10 player in the world. Because his strength is his course management and his putting and just really execution. And then my strength is hitting the ball high and far and, you know, being able to hit shots that might be more difficult. So if you put those two together, you have a winning recipe. So Brant and I are like, well, why don't we just put it together? Because we can. It's Zurich. It's a team event.
Can an event like this, you mentioned playing with Yeager, and y'all are good buddies. Y'all go way back.
Yeah.
Can an event like this, because I've never been, my favorite sport to play is tennis, but I can't stand playing doubles. I just want to be singles, and, you know, I don't like double situations where you wind up, you know, just thinking bad thoughts. You're like, oh, my partner cannot do this. Does any of that creep in when you play Zurich?
Well, it did the first time for sure. And that was why I took a hiatus from the tournament because I wanted to, if I hit a bad shot, I felt double as mad or sad because I did it for two people, not just one. Like I can, you know, if I hit a bad shot, I can get mad at me. Well, if I hit a bad shot, not only am I mad at myself, but also now I feel bad that Steven, it's affecting his game because it's the same. And then, if you don't play well and that person plays well, you don't end up well or vice versa. Or if you both play bad like Steve and I did, you really miss the cut. So I'm the same way. I've always enjoyed just, you know, the individual side of golf where it's all the heat's on you no matter what. And I've turned over a new leaf. It's only once a year. It's not a big deal. We're going in with a positive attitude this week with Brant.
And have you ever, this is probably unique being in Chattanooga, Tennessee when there's a tournament in New Orleans, because usually you attack the course Monday of that week, right?
Right. It's which is funny. I scheduled this foundation meeting this week because I have told myself I would never play Zurich again. So that's why I'm here on Monday and Tuesday is because I was like, oh, that's definitely the week I'll be taking off. So we'll just do it this week. And then Brant texts me. I was like, well, do you mind if I come in Tuesday night? And he's like, no, I don't care. I was like, okay, well, then I'm there. So I'm flying out tomorrow.
Awesome. All right. It's not every day that we have a PGA Tour winner co-hosting Press Row for an hour. So we will open up the phones at 648-1051. This hour in case you have whatever you want to ask Keith Mitchell because he has experienced a Honda Classic Championship and Wells and I have not. Keith, if you take the majors out and the TPC out, do you have a favorite tournament?
Honestly, that's one of the more often questions we get on tour, and it's a very fair one. And you phrased it perfectly by saying the majors and TPC, because players put TPC in its own category. Like, oh, he's a major winner, right? Well, that could go to any four. He says he's a player's champion. That only refers to one tournament, and the purses is the highest purse and the highest strength of field in world golf ranking. In my opinion, the players, I'm not talking prestige and tradition, whatever, is equal, if not more, than the other tournaments. So you phrase it great, because most people are like, oh, well, other than the majors, what's your best tournament? Well, then it's immediately TPC, right? But taking those are in its own league. TPC and the majors are in its own league. And then I don't really talk about the playoff events, because those are kind of separate. They're not really events. There's less people, weird format. So in terms of standard PGA Tour events, I think Wells Fargo in Charlotte is absolutely one of the best. It's the fans are knowledgeable. The golf course is always in great shape. The city is really enjoys the golf tournament being there. So I'll definitely put Wells Fargo at the top of the list. And then
my dad lives a mile from that course.
Oh, wow. Well, then he's in a good place. You know, it's a good spot.
It is nice. It is a beautiful part of Charlotte.
And then it's hard not to like Pebble Beach, just because the fact that we go to Pebble Beach once a year. It's not, you know, you think about the U.S. Open going once every 10 years. We have an event every year at Pebble Beach. It's like a built-in part of your schedule. And, you know, it's on the West Coast. The weather can kind of be crummy. But the fact that you walk out on the sixth tee and say, I'm at work right now, is hard to, you know, compare to anything.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good life.
The TPC, we had Harris on after last year's got shut down, and he had a great story about, you know, because he goes to bed that night in second place and, you know, I guess it was right before he went to bed, his agent called and said they've shut it down. And
I was in like 10th that week too.
Okay.
And we both, I don't know if he told you the story, but you get a text message of what you made at the end of the week, and they didn't adjust the field. So when Harris was in second, they sent him a message that says, you've won $1.1 million. And then, correction, like 15 minutes later, sorry, everyone's getting the same amount of 50 grand or whatever it was.
Wow. So, I had not heard about that.
I was in 10th, so I was mad, but then I thought about Harris. And then the most recent Masters champion, Hideki Matsuyama, was in first that week. So he got texted, you won $2.7 million. And then 15 minutes later, you go, I'm sorry, you won, you know, 40 or 50 grand.
Well, that's the point I was going to bring up is, I mean, Harris was in second and he was on track, had he stayed second, for the biggest paycheck of his life. And he's won a couple of times. He's won since. But, yeah, he said that morning, waking up, seeing other golfers, going back to get your bags and all that stuff, was so weird just because of the open-endedness. He said y'all never knew when y'all were going to see each other again once COVID hit and how strange that was.
It was definitely surreal with everybody running in and out of the locker room and getting their stuff. Nobody really knew what was happening. And the funniest part was we all went back to Sea Island, and 3 days later, we're on the range practicing, and we're like, well, you know, we don't really know we're going to start back up, so we better stay sharp. And this is 3 days after we shut down. Little do we know, 3-4 months later, are we staying sharp?
All right, setting up today's show, because there are things going on in the sports world. We'll start college football. How about this? Keith, this is right up your alley. Georgia, the sideline reporter, Chuck Dowdle. He's been doing that for a long time. He has announced he is stepping down, so not sure if they'll go DJ Shockley there, Jeff Danzler. There are some potentials, but Georgia in the market for a new sideline reporter.
I wish I had some insider info on this, but I have literally nothing for you. Sorry.
The guy's like moving up to Maine. I guess he's always had a house up there, and his daughter's getting married the weekend of the Kentucky game, and he's 72, and he thought, hell, this is probably just a good time to pack it in. But he's going to do basketball still, right?
Is he? Is he still going to
do hoops?
I
think that's what I read, yeah.
Wow.
Seems like the wrong program to be sticking with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and basketball plays a lot more games, right?
That's true.
All right, of course, Keith is an old Baylor guy. There's some Macaulay alum news today. Robert Riddle. And Keith, this was after you were already on tour, but you were doing the professional golf thing. But I promise you, there were back-to-back Baylor-McCauley games that were just incredible as far as single performances. That Ryan Parker, linebacker that went to Army for Baylor, had a kajillion tackles in that year, and it's the last time Baylor beat McCauley. And then McCauley started this streak behind Robert Riddle, who just had an incredible...
Just a really good high school quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he had like a 16 of 17 first half and just lit Baylor up over at McCauley, but... He has had the most unique career. He signs with Mercer and redshirts in 2017. He two games into his redshirt freshman year in 2018, he becomes Mercer's starting quarterback. Two games later, broken collarbone, out for the year. In 2019, he's the starter from the get-go, starts the first seven games, ankle injury, done for the year. So he receives last year during COVID. It was weird. It was about 2 weeks after the sports world shut down. The NCAA announces that Robert Riddle gets a medical red shirt. So now he can be a sixth-year guy. Add the NCAA's decision to allow an extra season for COVID, and if he wants to, Robert Riddle can spend 7 years in college football. If he wants. Now, unfortunately, when he had that ankle injury, that was in October of 19, they did surgery then, and they had to go in and do it again last September. So he has not played in a year and a half. But reason I'm bringing up Robert Riddle today, he takes to social media and announces he is getting in the NCAA transfer portal. He's graduating within a month in like business management marketing at Mercer, but he is going to be, you always hear of these grad transfers with 1 or 2 years of eligibility. He's still got 3. So pretty wild story.
Even if he leaves Mercer, he's got 3.
Yeah. Well, he is leaving. That was his deal. He announced.
But he still has plus 3.
Correct.
Tennessee could use another quarterback. They only have 6 of them now.
Well, there was a report that Joe Milton, who quarterbacked at Michigan last year.
That's what I was getting to, yeah.
And so I have not heard any confirmation for him, but there are talks that Joe Milton could add to Tennessee's quarterbacking mix in year one of Josh Heupel. In the college basketball world, of course, we have not had a show since last Thursday due to the Braves playing the afternoon game at Wrigley on Friday. Of course, news that John Fulkerson, returning for his 6th season of college basketball for the Vols, that's going to be a pretty stocked roster.
It is. You know, I was going through it today, and I guess there are like 9 to 10 guys that could actually get minutes on that team. And he had a down year, but I'm all about it. As somebody that roots for that program and watches all the games, he was down this year. It didn't go his way, but he's a meaningful piece. I mean, he's only missed one game, but he's played like in what, 54 games or something like that, and he started 53 of them, something along those lines.
Talking about
like over the last 2 years, Fulkerson.
Oh, okay, yeah, because so, like overall, he's played like
way more than that, yeah,
or something.
He's just been incredibly consistent in terms of getting on the floor, but the play wasn't that great. But if you're going to tell me he's going to come back, he's a good body. I take him.
UTC adds some size. Avery Diggs, 6'11", 245. He's played the past 2 years at UCF. He is transferring to Lamont Paris and the Mocs. Who's the tallest on the PGA Tour?
I was just thinking how far I would hit it if I was 6'11", 245. I mean, it would be really far. I mean, that is crazy. I mean, Stuart Sink's up there. He's probably 6'5".
You say that about the height, though. I mean, I've been at Augusta and been fortunate enough to be there and see Rory McIlroy. He's not a tall guy.
Well, imagine if he was tall. It would be.
So you're saying the higher, I mean, that's an automatic deal, the higher?
It's not automatic, but, I mean, it's a lot to do with it. I mean, you think about levers and you think about, yeah, you know, a circle. I mean, I don't want to get too Bryson DeChambeau on here, but you know, the longer the circle, the wider the circle, yeah, the faster the end piece goes, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just kind of how it is. And McIlroy can just do that very well at his size. If you gave him a 6'11", 240 body, he would hit it 400 yards. I'm not kidding. You think I'm crazy. 400 yards.
All right. Ernie Els, Leishman's a big guy.
Yeah, but those guys swing nice and easy and smooth. And, you know, you think about age and how long those guys are competing on tour. That has a lot to do with it. Guys are getting hurt so young now because they're lashing at the ball. Rory is a great example. He's been hurt 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, you've even mentioned that in 2018, I mean, when you've been on here before, you said you were way up there, if not number one, right?
Oh, yeah. I had the fastest club head speed on the PGA Tour my rookie year on the PGA Tour. And now – I've probably dropped 2 miles an hour on purpose, though, because I don't want to get hurt, and I was having back trouble that first year and severe wrist problems. But now I haven't had really an issue in 2.5 years at all. And, you know, my cruise, yeah, knock on wood, thanks, Wells. But my cruise speed's 2 or 3 miles an hour slower now. But I can still get my top end speed still there, but my cruise speed's a little bit less, so I can try to create some consistency.
All right, the Atlanta Braves have played back-to-back games that were 13-4 outcomes. A loss on Saturday, a win last night. Of course, the big news last night, Ronald Acuña had to leave the game due to abdominal pain. It has been announced in the last 30 minutes that is now, and this is great news for the Braves, mild abdominal pain. He is listed day-to-day. So no big scare on the Ronald Acuña
maybe
front.
Like Taco Bell before the game, or are we talking? What are we?
I think it was a slide back to first.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was a slide. First slide.
But Taco Bell will do it. I'll tell you.
Especially if you do both.
Right.
And today is day one of the Tim Kelly mayoral tenure in Chattanooga. Tim is a friend of the show, and good luck to him. He is a Baylor school classmate of mine, replacing Andy Burke, who was the year after me at Baylor. So. Speaking of Baylor, we have an alum here in Keith Mitchell, PGA Tour winner, the 2019 Honda Classic. I've got tons of questions for Keith. If you've got tons of questions for Keith, 648-1051. He'll be with us all hour. Pull up a chair. We're just getting going here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.